You're now listening to the Eight Plates podcast.
So I'm not a pussy because it's actually metal.
I do the opposite where I start singing Seal.
Baby! Yeah, that's very true. He got that. Is that the joke? Is that a common joke that he got kissed by a rose because he got a big scar on his face? Is that true?
Oh, is that? Yeah, that makes sense.
That's like a hack 90s comic thing, sort of like a person who really wants to get on the comic circuit but can't really make it.
What do you think did happen to Seal? Is that an acne thing or
no? That's sealed. That's sealed off. I don't know. Is there a way to see Top Secret? Top Secret? Something like that. I don't know.
This is a Seal Team 6 type thing.
Yeah, that's the amount of lashes he got for making music in his hometown. That's what happened.
Did he make any other songs?
Yeah, he's got an extensive backlog. Like he took a picture of himself naked for the cover.
Name one.
Seal's Greatest Hits, Volume 2.
Name one of his songs.
I'm Seal. it's sort of like an intro to the album. It's like, hello, I'm Seal. Yeah,
it's him kind of hum singing in the background as like one of the big pun skits from the late 90s goes.
Oh yeah,
look, yeah, I've been eating a pussy.
Well, he's okay. Actually, I do know that. I didn't look this up, but there's probably a Moby. So Kiss from a Rose Moby remix.
Oh God, there has to be that.
Yeah, or like. yeah, something like that. I don't know. But actually, one more thing. One last cameo appearance from Google.com here. I want to see what is Seal's second most popular song, Google? Please tell me. Because I'm kind of curious. I know that the first one's Kiss from a Rose, but please show me the second one. Thank you.
You really give her all the information.
Yeah, just like garbage. Oh, it just showed me. It just showed
Kiss
me.
From a Rose?
Yeah, Kiss from a Rose. Yeah, because I said it. Seal, second most popular song. No.
Here's information from American Songwriter.
Wait a second, this is stupid. The second entry on this list is Stand By Me.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count. Actually, it's funny because... Oh, whoa, no, that's no way. Okay, it's just top 10 songs. But the American Songwriter puts Kiss From a Rose as number 8, which is wild to me. Like that's the one that's the one, you know.
Yeah.
The first one's Love's Divine. You heard that?
No.
More like
idea.
Love's Wine, because I would love to talk about breakfast and Tiffany's. Actually, literature and food. Stand By Me.
Should we play it? Should we risk you getting sued?
Oh, I really don't mind doing that. Sorry, not to cut you off. You were saying a funny joke at the end, or just.
No, go on.
I'm just saying that, like, I don't mind playing copyrighted music. We do it all the time, but it's just I don't want to listen to Seal right now. I'll be honest, I sort of don't feel like it, because there's Don't Cry, Prayer for the Dying, Human Beings, Fly Like an Eagle. Fly Like an Eagle is not, that's Steve Miller Band, right?
Oh yeah, I think you're right.
But it's still listed as Seal, right? Maybe you need to cover.
That's
it. Crazy, that's not Seal either. And Kiss from a Rose, that's number 8. So.
Wow, did he just do a lot of covers? Is that kind of, was that his main shtick?
Yeah, the seal of approval. You cover out of it. He's just got a bunch of songs like Eleanor Rigby. He takes like number ones from every country of all time, like ABBA and shit, and just puts a stamp on there. I really explained it so I can sort of dig myself out of having the seal of approval on my backlog.
Whew.
Good stuff. So, all right. Well, let's jump into it. After this short little preamble, this is gonna be sort of like a 2-week show. This is sort of like the marathon of shows. We sort of sit down here. We sort of blend it with our chairs. You know?
Should we blend it with our chairs?
Yeah, we blend with our chair. You know when someone dies and like they decompose and their skin like blends with the chair? That's a real thing.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. Yes.
How would you say it if that wasn't clear, sir?
There you go.
You wanted me to do that.
Fuse.
No, they blend with the chair. No, because fuse is, first of all, there's some electrical double entendre, and I don't want that to happen.
But blend is like, also has the kitchen appliance.
It's brilliant, basically.
The visual phenomena.
Yeah.
There's,
so it's, you're telling me I'm genius poet.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I'm genius poet.
So, you're the rupee of this podcast.
A rupee car?
Uh-huh. Hell yeah.
Rumi, actually.
Rumi car. That's a good meme. Hell
yeah. Yeah, could you make more memes? Just tag me in it so I get more without doing anything work. Because I like at the same time I'm like, yo, it's so hard to do stuff online. Not that it's hard work, I just hate it very much. You love it. You love doing it.
I hate it.
You love your life, man. Right?
But yeah, no, I'll make some excellent memes.
Don't feel pressured. Don't feel pressured or anything. It's fine.
We'll do some collab posts. And
me to actually like collaborate on that? Like you want me?
It'll look like that. That's what I'll say.
Oh, that's what I've been doing all the time. You know, people think that people actually contribute to the posts. I just do all the posts myself and just put their fucking numbers next to it. That's crazy, right? That's crazy. That's wild, man. It doesn't matter. Either way, we're back to breakfast. Oh, here's the thing. Breakfast at Tiffany's, because I got this note here. I got to read it all, okay? Breakfast at Tiffany's, misleading, you know, because it's not like a breakfast, blah, blah, blah. But also misled, you know, like led by, because it's a female protagonist. It's not really a female protagonist, but it's like about a woman. Yeah.
Misled.
Yeah. What do you think about audiobooks? You seem like the guy who doesn't mind them because you're very forward-thinking, but your peers hate them, right?
I don't mind them at all. It is...
Hard exhale?
I think you should be allowed to lie about audiobooks and say that you read a book, but only if you're also someone that regularly reads.
Right.
I think it is actually stolen valor to say that you read an audiobook if you are a person that just does not read.
That's not bad. I agree.
Yeah.
I also think that for us movie guys, cinephiles actually, certified movie experts, it is funny that we're getting the same treatment you guys have gotten for a long time. So people who do the audiobooks have been around, like books on tape have been around for like 50 years or something. I don't know, maybe more on vinyl, I don't know. Either way, but so you guys have that sort of a backlog of someone just listening to the book, doesn't really care, and then says, oh yeah, I've read it. The same thing is happening to us now, because people are like, yeah, I've seen the movie, and they've obviously just seen clips on YouTube and TikTok and whatever, but you haven't seen the movie. And that's, here's the thing, I can, the same logic you apply to audiobooks, I apply to if you see a clip of a movie, and you've seen like a few thousand movies and you actually care about film and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then you're allowed to judge it. Be like, yeah, I'm not really interested. Like, whatever. It's just a clip, right? From the clip, you can tell this is a shitty movie. But if a normie sees the end of Tarkovsky's The Mirror on, I don't know, TikTok, and they're like, actually, it's kind of slow. It's like, you can't judge that. You don't have the gravitas, the repertoire to,
Right. Yeah, you... Did my audio just change?
I mean, not really.
Okay, this is very frustrating. But anyway, it's
have you not been using the Mac the mic the whole time?
No, I still don't know what's happening with the interface, because there's a problem with the interface, and my computer says that I'm working. Yeah. I'm using the mic, but there's something wrong. Anyway,
real quick, can you just say something away from the mic and toward? Because there's no difference. I trust you. I tell you.
Where are my balls?
Yeah, there's literally no difference. So
this is hilarious. I can just relax.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, you can have the mic in front of you if you want to. But yeah, there's literally no.
It's a good aesthetic.
Yeah. No, nothing.
It's picking it up on there, so it's just not getting all the way. I don't know. I don't understand. I'll figure it out later. I'm thinking of just getting myself another computer, because every time I disconnect this laptop from the audio setup and stuff.
Okay, sorry for asking. That's good. Let's move on. Yep.
Yeah. I I take the computer around to write, because I'm a writer.
Yeah.
I'm a cool, deep guy with good, deep thoughts.
There's a movie with Owen Wilson where he's a writer and he's like, he doesn't know what to write, and he throws a computer out and he starts writing on paper, and that's what fixes it.
There you go. There you go. But I just need to get myself, I guess, a piece of paper instead of disconnecting my computer all the time.
Yeah.
But anyway, fuck! I derailed everything.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's the breakfast at Tiffany's misleading, because it's like it's misleading the plot. You know what I'm saying? But audiobooks. We were saying audiobooks.
Oh yeah, audiobooks. The stolen valor thing with movies, especially with like Tarkovsky. Yeah. Because I feel like it's even worse for Tarkovsky, because people will just literally see pictures of his movies
Oh
and
yeah.
then kind of sat there and watched them all.
Yeah.
And it's sad because it continues on this just general vibe, which is kind of true that watching these movies is just a fucking chore. And it kind of is, but it's a
Yeah.
wonderful chore. Like the effort is the thing that actually kind of gives it much of its value. But oh, people these days just want everything spoon-fed to them, you know?
Yeah, well, now here's the thing. I got two thoughts about this. I think that first of all, something being slow and your body's like projection of that sometimes, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Because
No.
it's not natural to be so fast-paced. And I'm not saying people are productive, because it's not the case. I'm not making the capitalist argument like, oh, every second you waste, you're wasting it. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not making that argument at all. People are completely lazy, and they don't do shit. However, I mean, not in the world. I'm talking about, obviously the very, our circles, basically. I'm not talking about the people dying in Sri Lanka. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying the world is lazy, but lots of people complaining are very lazy. And then you have, I'm getting distracted by what are you doing out there? What do? You're doing the bomb out there? You're making a bomb? He's got no audio. Doesn't matter. I'm just going to keep going with my point. He's not going to listen, by the way. He's not got no audio at this point. He's got no audio. He doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no audio.
Yeah.
Oh, it also wouldn't work as
Okay,
an audio
sorry.
book again because the end notes.
You're literally underwater now. This is the worst you've ever sounded. Ever. So you made a usable audio completely unusable at this point. I don't know what was happening.
Right.
Yeah, this is better. Much better. Much better.
The microphone working and it sounds like shit now, so that's good.
Sorry, but you see, yeah, Infinite Jest. Audiobook.
I can't imagine using an audiobook version of that,
Yeah.
because again, like I just don't know pragmatically speaking how you would switch between the footnotes, the end notes,
Yeah.
and the text itself. Or if they just straight up cut out the end notes, which I can kind of imagine them
Yeah.
doing, which would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
But yeah, guess what? You don't have to read that book. I don't know if anyone's ever told you you have to read it. You don't. You don't have
That's
to. No, this is advice to everyone that's listening. You
yeah.
do not need to read Infinite Jest.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and that's my argument as well. Like in general, it's like just because it's a classic or people online want to make it a classic doesn't mean that you
Right.
have to, and doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be now, you know. You know, God willing, you won't die tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? You got 10 years. You got 5 more days to experience life. You know, 5 years, 10 years. So you don't have to experience everything right now. Yeah,
Yeah,
give it
it would
some
be really funny to get halfway through Infinite Jest on your deathbed.
time. No, I want to know more about this comedy of wits. I don't even know what even is it about. Like, is it a family thing? Is it a like?
Yeah, I mean, there's a family. It has a shit ton of characters. So there's this like rich family. There's this guy that's literally addicted to weed.
Yeah.
There's giant babies wandering through the
Wait a
wasteland.
second. Weed
But yeah.
existed back then?
What's that?
Weed existed
Oh,
back
yeah, it had just been invented. It's about khakis, about people wearing khakis. It's about
Okay.
tennis. But the Infinite Jest itself, is a Shakespeare reference, but it's referring to a piece of media that is so entertaining that you can never take your eyes off of it and it kills you.
Yeah. A Place Podcast.
Which exactly,
Yes.
which the main Infinite Jest is because that conceit at its center about that piece of media is already such a trite thing to write about at this
Yeah.
point in time that you've already seen all the stuff occur in media anyway. Like people make that joke. It's hacky. It's hacky now.
Okay.
Like it's like you could read or you listen to some Bill Hicks, right? You could listen to
Not
his
me.
stand-up.
Not me.
And you could argue for it of having its value because of when it came out. But then if you walk into a club and you see someone doing Bill Hicks
Yeah.
jokes, it's going to be the worst thing in the world.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I'd
so
argue that
it's
Bill Hicks
going
himself
down.
is not far away from the worst thing in the world, but it's true that a copy of a copy of a copy is bad. I know you're an
Yeah, I don't know
atheist.
if you ever
You're an
made me
atheist, so you
laugh.
love Bill Hicks, but I it's not
Yeah,
even
I'm obsessed with
like you're like, that's so true, actually. But
him. Yes. Yeah.
yeah. What if Sam Kinison? You know Sam? Am I saying his name right? The guy who just
Yeah.
screams all the time. What if he got actually tortured and he actually had to scream? Like, do you think that would be louder than his act, or no? Or does he go max for his act?
That would be really funny. He might just get really quiet after a while. Like he starts really
Ow!
loud and then you just be like, oh. Yeah,
Yeah,
I like that.
that's crazy. When you get anxious, are you more of a jumpy type guy or more of a lockdown sort of, you know, reserved guy? Like, do you retreat or do you expand? Are you a gas or solid is what I'm saying.
I'm pretty hyper vigilant on a daily basis anyway.
Yeah.
And so when there is something emergent that happens, usually I actually calm down pretty well because I'm already just kind of fucking stressed all the time. But if I do feel anxiety, I'd probably quiet down a bit. That's probably what happens.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I definitely have moments where I get like just insane hyperverbal things like that, but I don't think that's an anxiety response. But again, with the anxiety, I don't think I'm like getting smaller. I'm getting quieter, but it's
you're expanding.
I think I might be. I think I might be swelling.
Yeah, I'm quiet. Big trouble, little China. Weird. Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I'm also a Chinese god, dude.
Are you?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, I mean, I like someone says something I don't like, I just go, and like start expanding till I blow up, dude. That's just literally me. John Carpenter is down bad, man. And not to keep ragging on him, because we've been doing that a bit, but The Ward with Amber Heard, that's like almost a 20-year-old movie, and it's already the downfall.
Well, I haven't seen that.
Oh, The Ward, Amber Heard?
Oh, The Ward.
No.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Amber Heard?
What about her?
She plays in that, and she's like, she's taking a shower in one scene.
Nice.
That's the whole movie. Nothing else in the movie is interesting. It's so she's like crazy. I'm crazy. Show me something new.
This is a Carpenter film?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a cinema film. It's for everybody. But yes, it's from the creator of Halloween and everything. Now, we're taking a break from Amber Heard and her breakdown to show you how to make a perfect table leg. That took way too long to come out. But either way, just like who Elton John or something like that? I don't know. I'm not going to make theories about anything like that. Dorian, food and literature. Being hungry. You're out in the streets. All you have to eat is a little bit of margarine and bread, if even, you know. Maybe you don't even have that. You would fare very poorly. This book, though, I like it very much. Down on Paris and London. Are you going to read it?
Yeah, I could do that for you.
No, I mean, not for the enjoyment of it. I just think, like, I hate this. Even this cover is horrible because it's got the same font and everything as the Animal Farm and, like, 1984 thing that I have to read. So,
well, it's got the same... it's got the same cover as what I would imagine the literary or the book version of Peaky Blinders would have.
Tommy. Yeah, that's something that we haven't done in a long time, dude. The Peaky Blinders.
Tommy.
But yeah. What's not pretentious? Eating. Everybody does it.
Too true. I've never seen food be pretentious.
Well, no, you know, that's a different story. For now, we're chilling. Hitler, Gandhi, Greta Gerwig, Greta Thunberg, James Mason.
All famous vegans?
No, just all of them eat, I'm pretty sure, at some point. All of them have eaten. Even though some take breaks, like I don't consider Gandhi an actual eater because he did take breaks in eating.
He did. If you want to be taken seriously as an eater, you got to just keep going with it.
Well, he's a part-time eater. It's like, I can't just be like, oh yeah, I'm a runner and then not go for a run for 10 years.
Actually, as a lifty fitness guy, tell me, what do you feel about intermittent fasting?
Oh, I love it because I do it all the time because otherwise I'd be more fat. Because if I just ate all the time, I'd just be fatter and fatter and fatter. So I just kind of take breaks. I take a lot of coffee too. I got garlic on me all the time. I had a bunch of garlic on me. Garlic, coffee, nicotine is all I need, really. And then I fast.
Do you just eat bulbs of garlic?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
That rules, actually. No. I want to make fun of it, but I think that rules.
Well, it's a little stinky poo-poo, but at the same time, I don't mind the smell myself. And again, when you have nobody to surround you yourself with, it doesn't really matter what other people think. So you just go down the street and you can intimidate. Also, it's kind of a sick power move. Like, you know, popping in a piece of chew or gum, actually, in these days. For your liberals out there, it's not dipping tobacco. It's actually chewing gum. You do the same thing with some garlic, actually. It's like, oh, that's a good point, actually. Let me pop some in. And then you just,
That when I was a kid, I had this alpha move where I would just eat onions, and it made people like me a lot. I was a popular child.
Well, that's the thing. It's like onions and garlic have a bad rep, but at the same time, I feel like onions are. There's something about the juiciness of onions that makes them less manageable. Like, you can't just put an onion in your bag. Whereas garlic, you put it in your bag, you can just go anywhere. You can go hike, you know?
I mean, yeah, especially if you forget it. Like, if you forgot some garlic bulbs in your bag a month later, who cares? You have a garlicky bag. It's kind of delicious, actually. This might be a good thing. I want to start hanging garlic in my backpack. But onions. Imagine keeping like two or three big red onions in your bag and just forgetting them
Incredible.
At the bottom.
Yeah. No, it's horrible, horrible. But
yeah, it's gonna crawl out of there.
There's gonna be like ant colonies or whatever. There's gonna be lots of people. There's gonna be the onion.com, the onion router. Also, tech companies love using onion in their names, which is embarrassing. I don't see
it
the garlic. I don't see the garlic post.
Yeah.
Anyways, these are all very intellectual, smart thoughts. But at the same time, back to actual food. Food and books go together like wine and food.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a sec. Food and books, just like wine and food. Cheese and wine go together as well as cheese and ravioli, you know?
Okay.
Books go together like mouses with a computer, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Books and literature and food, it's sort of just a perfect mix, you know, just like cover pages and main text, you know. Food is actually food and literature go together as well as mint and water.
That's how you off balance the garlic.
No, not really, actually. This mint doesn't make your breath fresh smell fresh. It just makes your like nasal cavities opener because you smoke all the time. You know, you smoke all the time. So you got to open that up with a bit of mint. Yeah.
Beautiful. I didn't know that about mint.
The opening of the nasal cavities?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, no, of course it is, bro. That's
makes
why,
sense. Like, I mean, I guess I feel it.
Vicks and everything, right? That's
yeah.
Not vixen as in like a dirty woman. I'm talking like Vicks. Like the yeah. All right. So, you know.
Do use some baby rub. You know what I'm saying?
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll get Danko warmed up to this show for a while. He's very serious today, but it's good. We got it. So I'll stop doing the comparisons about food and all that stuff. What's your favorite book about like food, you know, or like culinary?
It could be a novel easy. Or it's like super easy. You want literature, like a cookbook?
Well, so that's the thing. I want to say, you can say both, actually. An actual cookbook would be nice, but also something that deals with it, you know? Like, for example, I mean, there's many books that deal with different subjects. You don't need an example, but yeah.
So my favorite cookbook is it's the Flavor Bible.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's not a cookbook at all. It doesn't give you any recipes. All it is just a essentially like a glossary or an index of different ingredients and then stuff that goes well with them.
Yeah.
And some of it's surprising, some of it's not, and it's just super useful because I. You know, just if you need a little push to be like, how am I going to make this, you know, this steak interesting?
Yeah.
Don't do anything to steaks.
No, I agree.
But yeah, it's great. It's helped me more with cooking than almost anything else. But, you know, I grew up with the Art of French Cooking when I was growing up, trying to read through that book. So
yeah.
How about you?
Well, no, that's actually just on that. Do you own the copy of that book? Because that's expensive, dude. That's an expensive ass book.
Art of French Cooking?
Flavor Bible. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've actually bought multiple copies of it over time. I had a copy of it before it blew up and got really popular. So it was like a $20 book.
Wow, okay. I thought you had like a safe or something. Like, you know, when like in Twin Peaks at the end, the finale, when Audrey Horne straps herself to the opening of the bank, like the front doors, and then the bomb goes off and kills Pete.
Yeah, I think I do remember that.
Basically, what Twin I'm saying Peaks is you could store your books in the bank.
Twin Peaks for me is probably like Twin Peaks for everyone, but it just feels like a dream, and I don't quite understand. I don't have any memories of it that quite make sense.
Yeah.
I just remember like people dancing.
I'm just a little twisted like that, I guess. For me, Twin Peaks is not even different. It's just normal life, actually. But either way, no, what I meant to say is that's crazy because I had an embarrassing moment for like 2 weeks where I went to we have a bookstore, like a mainstream like book retailer called Indigo. And I just, okay. I would go there every single day, or I mean, maybe every 2 days, something like that. But just often when I worked in the kitchen, to consult the flavor Bible, because I didn't want to buy it because it was like $80 Canadian or something.
Right.
So, yeah. So I just went in and I remember looking at octopus, like what goes well with octopus. And I kind of forgot now. I couldn't.
Yeah. It's I remember that part of it kind of blew my mind, and it was just like, oh, that's great. And I've actually used combinations from it a few times. Octopus, it's citrus, potatoes, like parsley, garlic, all the obvious things there.
Yeah. But
the citrus and the potatoes were like, oh yeah, I need some potatoes with my with my octopus.
Yeah, well, actually, grilled octopus goes really well on oil and onion as well. So if you're a big onion fan, onion heads out there, you could just go ahead and make octopus. But it's just octopus is such a funny, like, it's the most disgusting natural food that becomes normie acceptable. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not disgusting at all to me because I eat everything. But at the same time, to normies, people who wouldn't eat, like, bugs or weird shellfish, or, you know, oysters even.
Right.
They accept octopus. They're like, oh, yes, of course, it's fine. You know, that's
That is really surprising. And it's also, you know, just like such a, I don't care that much about this kind of thing. I have to admit that, but it's such a deeply unethical food.
Yeah.
Like, they're extremely intelligent animals.
And
I kind of don't care.
Yeah.
But a lot of people who like won't eat veal, you know, will eat an octopus. And it's like, come on. Really?
What brilliant twisted turkey or smart intelligent calf convinced the world that fish don't feel? That's like the biggest psyop in the food world, because that's what everybody uses. Even people who are vegetarian are like, oh yes, but I'm pescatarian actually. I kill fish by the millions, but I won't eat a dog.
They're just so alien that we can convince ourselves of that. Which is very funny.
It's wild. Yeah. Because, if you think about octopus, of course, octopi, I don't know. And then
it's actually.
Yes.
The plural for octopus, I love this because there's three of them and they're all right.
Yeah.
It's octopod is my favorite one.
Nice.
So octopods, octopi, or actually octopuses is correct and very funny to say.
The James Bond movie Octopussy, which has nothing to do with an octopus, it's just a tattoo.
What?
Yeah.
God damn it.
You just had that queued up. You're like, I'm getting back into movies. DC told me to get back into movies. I'm going to watch Octopussy tonight. Sounds like a good time. And then no octopus, no pussy. Here's the thing, bro. I don't feel like that's really intelligent at all to characterize these people from the sea as dumb. You know, it's a psyop. It's the calves. You know, have you seen that? There's like an animated movie where the turkey's like, we're going to go back to the first Thanksgiving and remove turkey from the menu.
Sure, yes.
Well, that's the same thing. Someone pulled that with the fish. I don't know who, but either way.
Yeah.
Mackerel. And
it's also funny because people really lose their minds over like shark fin stew, right?
Yeah.
And how brutal and cruel it is to like chop the fins off of these animals and throw them back in the sea. And it is fucked up. And people, you know, hot take, probably shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But sharks are so much fucking dumber than octopods are.
It's very interesting. For me, intelligence has nothing to do with it. Not that, you know, I don't know. I never thought like, this steak is delicious. Must have been real dumb. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have this.
Oh, I do the opposite.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Oh,
this is the smartest cow.
Oh, dude. Hell yeah. Well, that's the thing. Are there any funny cartoons about animals doing math? Probably.
Animals doing math.
it probably exists somewhere, right? To teach the kids.
I understand the trajectory of that, but I think this is just such a beautiful question to ask.
Yeah. Excuse me, can I learn some algebra from the cows, please? Yeah, something like that. I'm trying to...
But yeah, no one gives a shit about smart animals. We don't want them to be smart.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about animals is that, at least like the domestic ones that we have, are just smart enough to seem exponentially more stupid than they are.
Okay.
I think that's beautiful.
Like,
I think that's really good.
There is a type of monkey that looks like... Look that up. There's, I don't know. Well, don't actually look that up live. I'm talking
about
the guy.
Pull it up.
Yeah. So, well, something like that, but it's like a monkey that looks like Clint Eastwood. Like, every single type of that monkey looks like Clint Eastwood, and they're very, very smart. And they kept themselves away from society for so long, just on purpose. It was one of the last species of monkeys, or I don't know if they're species, whatever, types of monkeys that we couldn't actually take pictures of or interact with because they always escape the humans to look for them. So yeah, Clint Eastwood.
Do they
monkey.
Sound like Clint Eastwood?
You know, Barack Obama. I don't agree with you. That's a great video. That's sort of like everybody brushed that under the rug because he's still alive. Everybody expected Clint Eastwood to die in like 2005 or something.
And, yeah.
But he's still here, so people have to be like, oh, never. Yeah, no, he's cool now. He's fine.
That right. Yeah. Yeah. He's now sane enough to be making movies now that he's no longer yelling at chairs, you know?
What?
Like, people really thought it was like, oh, no, it's the end of Clint Eastwood.
But wait a second. Now, I hate conservatives more than most, but at the same time, it's like, give him a little break. If Sam Beckett or something, some goofy goober from New York would do that, they'd be like, wow, that's brilliant.
Definitely.
Just because it's Clint Eastwood, the old guy's like, yeah, Mr. Dementia Clint.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But no, wait a second. Let me use Google Voice. Hello, Google. Could I please have a picture of a monkey? monkey Clint Eastwood. Monkey Clint Eastwood looks like Clint Eastwood.
Perfect.
This is an actual movie. I remember this.
It actually worked.
Well, no, because but there's a movie with Clint Eastwood and an orangutan. But it's that's not the one I'm looking for. It's the monkey. Doesn't matter, bro. Look for it later, audience.
I will.
You too, actually. But either way, today we're talking about books, okay? You didn't really name... So that's awesome. You named the cookbooks. What about the fiction sort of deal? For me, cookbooks, by the way, the French Laundry cookbook is the one I always tell other people about because I can tell them fun and bits of history about, like, Thomas Keller and et cetera, et cetera. I've never actually opened the damn thing, you know? Like, I don't know. That's my favorite cookbook, I guess.
Yeah, like the books with actual recipes, I feel way less of an impulse to ever open them. They're a victim of their own success. No, yeah. I don't know, that's not quite right. But in the sense that I don't know what I want to get out of it, and so I'm not going to open it to find it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Whereas like the, you know, Art of French Cooking, something like that is great because it's just a list of different sauces that become other sauces, half of it, you know.
Yeah.
And then the Flavor Bible or like Flavor Matrix or books like that. Flavor Matrix sucks, by the way. Don't buy it.
I mean, I can tell by the title. I have never seen that book, but Flavor Matrix, you're doing too far. It's like, is the the Ben-Hur of pancakes or something.
It's a great idea. They talk about the actual chemistry of like compounds that produce flavors. Yeah. And then they give you lists kind of like the Flavor Bible, but it's all listed like three or four things. And there's only like 12 things in the book.
Yeah.
It's a waste. But I don't know, like I guess I don't usually read books for the food, but I do like all the Hemingway cafe scenes, things like that. I mean, he doesn't spend a whole lot of time spending like just ranting about the foods that are there, but the little mentions of the food and drink are kind of appetizing.
So nothing set in the culinary world, nothing like The Bear of books.
No, I don't know if I've. I have to have read something, but I can't think of anything that I've read that is about the culinary world.
I guess this is the one I'm thinking of. This is Down and Out in Paris and London. As you can see, I'm not even done with it yet, so I can't really tell you about the ending, but it's pretty sick. George Orwell, think about that for a second. That guy. He probably has the worst legacy of any author ever in my book.
Yeah.
You know why? Well, tell me.
Because everyone pretends to like him, but no one's...
He's been absolutely, excuse me, sexual assault victims for this next term, but he's been raped by the system, bruh. Everybody, every teenager has to be shoved. They get two doses of Orwell. They get 1984 and then Animal Farm. And brother, if that's not enough to make you hate this book. And by the way, like they're okay, and I'm not going to undermine them and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like for the impact, they're like the Oppenheimer of books. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's like, oh, geez, 1984. Yeah, we're just like today. Animal Farm, grr, socialism, grr.
Right.
But then you read them and you're like, okay, this is a pretty good children's book. Julia seems like she's a hot woman, but that's pretty much all I got out of 1984. Like, I don't really have anything more. But so, I don't know. What do you think about 1984 and Animal Farm?
Animal Farm, I've never enjoyed. Yeah. Mostly because I haven't tried to read it since I was a kid, and I was not much of a reader in high school. But 1984, I think, is fine. But then every time I think about it, I just want to read Brave New World instead.
Oh, you like Brave New World, the baby sex one?
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious, but at the same time, I feel like it's crazy. Here's what's crazy. When you've read so little when you were a kid, the few books you have read, you either love or hate. But yeah. Also, you can't trust any of that stuff. You absolutely cannot. Right. Like, even for movies, bro. I got movies I've seen like 5 years ago. I can't trust my judgment on them at all.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's just my thing. For me, Brave New World, Aldous Huxley. I just picked it out for the name of the guy. It's pretty kind
of
cool.
That's a hell of a name, yeah.
Yeah. Is that real, by the way?
Aldous Huxley? Yeah. I don't think that's a pen name or anything. I don't think he changed it.
Yeah.
He's just very British.
Well, but that's like it's got an X in it. Like, if you have an X or a Y in your name, that's sort of like futuristic. You know what I'm saying? That's like you're from.
Yeah. Like it'd be more believable somehow if it was like Aldous Huxtable.
Something like that.
I just realized what my favorite food book is that has to do with food.
Thanks. I was stalling because I have nothing to say about Aldous Huxley, bro. In the world. Go ahead.
It's The Jungle by Upton Sinclair.
I haven't read that. What is that about? First of all, is it ironic? Like, oh, it's actually about like gay sex or something? But you think
no, it's definitely about food, just not in a pleasant way. Right. It's about like early 20th century slaughterhouse workers and how miserable their lives were. And it's famous because he was kind of a revolutionarily minded like proletarian guy and wanted to write a book kind of expressing that in Chicago. But instead what ended up happening is everyone was just like, ew, food, gross, scary. And then there was this whole like, you know, movement around that.
Yeah.
So
does he talk about deep dish because he's from Chicago?
He should. That would be so fucking funny.
Hey, why don't you talk about deep dish? Something like that.
There's a lake south of Chicago that I think only within the last like decade stopped bubbling because there were so many animal corpses that were thrown into it just at random, and so it was bubbling up from the methane of the decomposing bodies.
Fizzy animals,
and I love the idea of just calling that the Chicago deep dish.
Well, it is. Well, if you think about it, that lake or river is kind of like a big soup, right?
Yeah.
Mean, you got all the animal carcasses, and you can just go ahead and take a little spoon and sample.
It's probably not that bad.
I would say it's pretty bad. Let's be honest. It's got like E. coli and shit over there. It's probably going to kill you. Yeah, I will ask this one thing of you, though. This book, would you rate it before reading, or would you wait till you've read it until you sort of give it your full final thoughts? On Goodreads.com, our favorite website, the sponsor for this week, Goodreads.com. It's like Letterboxd, but worse because you can't use it.
As a theorygram person, I am very comfortable in saying things about things I've never read. But I don't know. Right now, I'm going to give it. We're doing 5 stars. 5-star review.
No, Roger Ebert style 4-star.
Okay. Then I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it a 2.5.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Thumbs up or down?
Can I do this?
You both. No, because we're two, so you have to give your thumbs, and then I have
That's a terrible. I mean, they have balls for being willing to rate movies that way.
Not anymore,
right? They're because dead. It's just a thumb up or a thumb down. That's rough.
Yeah,
you know, like I don't know. But
that's actually how I rate movies too. By the way, I don't want to be this cool guy, but literally that's how I do it. I'm embarrassingly, I'm a Letterboxd user. I love that stuff, but I really hate the star rating, because how can you rate a movie star? All you can say is, did you like, would you recommend it or no? That's all you can say. That's the only actual point of reference you have. How can you say this is 5 stars, this is 4 stars? And then the worst thing, not even just like this pretentious sort of like, oh, you can't rate art thing, you watch it and your mind is now preoccupied about rating, like thinking about, oh, am I going to say this? That's horrible. You're taking yourself out of the experience every time. So instead, watch it. Be like, did you like it? Give yourself a few hours or maybe days. And then think about it. Like, oh, yeah, it's pretty, that's tight.
That's very zen of you. I respect
I'm not
that.
Zen, dude. I'm terrified.
You're
right
a Chinese
now.
God.
You're completely right about like losing consciousness and coherence at this point. So I'm really thinking food right now.
What kind of food?
Oh, man. You know what? Honestly, recently, I've been digging Turkish food real quick. It's insane. It's really, really good. Especially if you get to go to Turkey. So you should probably go to Turkey for lunch.
Yeah, I think you're right. I got some stuff to do, but I can make a quick stop in Turkey. What are you going to have for lunch?
Oh, man. I got fish ready. I have some.
Maybe I should just pick up some fish. Maybe I should cancel all my plans, go down to the market.
Yeah. I really forget what the I literally forgot what it's called, but it's one. It's like a whole fish, right? So I got the head and everything. So I cook all that stuff and I eat the brains.
Branzino or something.
Sorry.
Branzino or something.
What's that? What's that?
Branzino. It's a fish.
Oh no, it's not called that for sure. No. I didn't even know that. I thought that was like a rapper or something. No,
it probably is.
Yeah. No, I'm just getting that. I'm just gonna eat that with Persian rice, which is just basmati rice and saffron. I'm gonna put that.
Hell
in.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's pretty much it. Probably some whiskey. You know what I'm saying? Just because I'm at this point, I'm not gonna grasp on the last straws of coherence. So why not just go and continue?
How are you gonna cook the fish, though?
Oh, just on the pan there. Okay. Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, it's a whole fish. I guess that's the most reasonable.
Yeah, and I don't take anything out. I love the bones in there because I feel like it's more fun to eat that way. You can't like, you lose so much of it if you remove the bones beforehand. And
so many of the best part of a fish is its cheeks.
Oh yeah.
So you just don't want to cut anything out. You want to have all the little things to pick it at.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Gummer.com/8plates. Wait before, and now this is the end of the show, actually. No, don't wait for anything. Go gummer.com. It's only $5. All right. Get all the bonus stuff. Gummer, thank to Liz on Instagram, of course. You already follow him, probably.
The world is a van.
This has been the 8 Plates podcast. Had a fun time. Well, that was only a nibble compared to the millions of billions of hours of 8 Plates bonus episodes you can access on gumroad.com/8plates. Check it out and get a grip.